We'll be continuing in our study of thefts, okay? I think we more or less finished, but I just want to review a little bit. Okay, I don't think we have any more of this since the last time. Okay, but I'll just review, keeping a heart against thefts. I hope you have your notes. Okay, I'll just review. If don't have, you just listen. Okay, just listen. All right? In Matthew 15:19, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts. Thefts is defined as the act of stealing. Okay, the act of stealing refers to taking another person's things with the intent to steal them, and is done without the owner's knowledge, privately, and against the will of the person. Okay, now I think 2 weeks ago, someone actually talked about, then if there's an intention to steal, then it's stealing. Actually, there's a legal definition. That means in the court of law, they need to establish whether the person actually have an intention to steal or not. Okay? But intention to steal for whatever purpose is a different thing. But if there's an intention to steal, that is a legal definition. Okay? God's commandment in Exodus, let's turn to Exodus 20:15. I think that is our basis. Exodus 20 and verse 15. Let's read together. Very simple, few words, but very, very important when we understand God's law here. Okay? Ready? Exodus 20:15, ready? 1, 2, go. Thou shalt not steal. Okay? Thou shalt not steal. Okay? God says that thou shalt not steal means thou shalt not steal. And the purpose of that is that it teaches ownership. God actually says don't steal because things belong to people. Okay? It teaches ownership, and that is a sacred right that's given by God. It also teaches stewardship. That means if God gives us something, it means that we have to take good care of it. We have to take good care of it. Alright? And so that is why we need to actually be very, very careful with the things that God has given to us. Alright? Some people some people, when they buy, they really want things, and after when they get it, they throw it away. Or they get it, they don't use it. That means they want it for the purpose of wanting it. Alright? That's not God's will. Okay? When God actually gives us certain things, it's actually because He wants to bless us, but also He expects us to use it. Okay? So what are the three principles for using the property we have? What are three principles for using the money we have and things like that? Remember? Three things. Three uses of money. Three uses of property. Okay, serve the Lord, okay, to give to the work of God. What else? Support your family. What else? And help the poor, give to the poor. Okay, those who have need. And you know, that's how God wants us to use whatever He gave us. Okay, anything extra, you can go for holiday. Okay, so sometimes God does give us extra, not just to want everything rigid, but God does bless us. So sometimes it's okay to buy nice things, it's okay. Alright? But if your whole life is just wanting to buy nice things, that's a problem. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? If your whole life is just, I want to buy this, I want to buy that, I want to buy this, and then when there's a need in church, when someone is in need, and when your family is hungry, say, nah, don't worry, but there was actually one pastor who gave so much to God that his family was starving. Okay? Many years ago. There's this illustration. That is not God's will. That is not God's will. Okay? The money is supposed to, because God says in 1 Timothy 5:8, let's turn there. Okay? Just to illustrate this. 1 Timothy 5:8. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8. Okay. Let's read together, right? 1 Timothy 5:8. Ready? 1, 2, go. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. The word infidel means an unbeliever. So Paul teaches the people, look, if you don't even take care of your own family, you are worse than a non-believer. At least a non-believer still know how to work hard and take care of the family. As a Christian, all the more, we have a responsibility. Okay? So, why do people steal? We found out, we discussed 2 weeks ago, the internal causes, two things. In Psalm 78, verse 19, it was unbelief. Okay, and many times the people who steal have this inner desire to control things. And so, because God cannot provide for us, so I need to do something about it. And unbelief is a very, very, unbelief actually transcends a lot of things in our lives. Okay, when we don't believe God in certain things, we usually take action. Because we believe if God cannot help us, then we have to take our own action. Sometimes God does want us to act, but we must have the wisdom, okay, as to know when. But usually when people steal, it's because of unbelief, and number two, because of covetousness. Okay, these are things we've gone through before, I'm just revising. Alright, so, what's my notes? Okay, so, another reason, okay, is covetousness. Another external cause, okay, that means not just from the inside. Inside is because of unbelief and covetousness, but out external causes of why people steal is because of Satan tempting us, okay, or just temptation, right? Just like Judas Iscariot was tempted, okay, he was tempted by the things. Do you know why? Any idea why? I want to just share a little bit about Judas Iscariot. The Bible says in the book of John that Judas Iscariot was a thief. Okay? And we know from the Bible that Judas Iscariot is not in heaven. And that's a scary thing because he followed Christ from the time he was caught to the time he hanged himself. Okay? Some people have said, Judas Iscariot was an apostle of Christ. Yes. He followed Christ. He was involved in the evangelistic crusades. He was given power to heal. But what was his problem? He died and went to hell. You know? What was his problem? He did not believe. He believed he followed Christ for the wrong reasons. He followed Christ for the wrong reasons. And that's one thing that we have to understand. When we follow Christ for wrong reasons, we end up in the wrong place. And that's something that we have to be very clear. We don't follow Christ because of what we can get from Him. We follow Christ because we remember we are sinners. And we need a Savior. And that is a very, very important. But Judas Iscariot, just historically, Judas Iscariot actually followed Jesus because he felt that Jesus was coming in, he's the Messiah, he's going to set up his kingdom, and so when he come in and conquer the Romans, and then he's going to reign together. That was Judas Iscariot's thinking, right? According to the commentators, according to the historians. But his problem was his heart was in the wrong place. He was only after property, he was only after things and riches of this life. Okay, and so we need to be very, very careful there. So the external cause. So sometimes for even children when they see certain things, like, I want that, mama, I want that. Have you seen children? I want that. And after, in the end, I've always seen children. Okay lah. In order to maintain peace, the parents buy for them. You know what happens there? What actually happens if we do that? We are feeding the covetous nature of the children. Man by nature is covetous. Agree? Because we're all sinners. By nature, we are covetous. But that's where we train our children. Right? One of the things my pastor in Australia, before I was married, he always said this. He told me whenever his children want something, which they don't, which he don't plan to give them, he always tell them, you don't need it. Which is true. You don't need chocolates, you don't need guns, you don't need toys, because you have at home. And many children have toys at home they don't use. After they buy one, after 2 days, they don't use, they buy a new one. Alright, so you have to be very careful. When our children clamor, that means they actually throw a tantrum for something, and actually initially you already tell them, no, you're not going to have it. And finally you give in, you need to be careful because you're giving in to a nature, a sinful nature, that next time is very, very hard for you to undo. Okay? So the covetous nature. Some people steal because of necessity, they need food. Some people steal because they are lazy. They want the things, but they don't want to work. Some people steal because they want to look good. Alright? especially stealing jewelry, stealing different things so that they look good. Some people steal because they want to be rich. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? So how do people steal? I'm just revising very quickly. On a personal level, some of the areas of how people steal is taking advantage of the helpless. And this happens all the time. Those people who are unable to fight for themselves, like in poorer countries, the landlords will charge high rentals and all that kind of thing. Alright, so that's actually stealing. It's not a market price, they jack up the price, etc. That's actually stealing. And we need to be very careful. Alright, because God wants us to be honest. Okay? So there's this thing called the perfect theft. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 4:2. 1 Corinthians 4:2. The perfect theft. When we steal, the perfect theft means when we fail to acknowledge God as the giver of our gifts. When we fail to actually acknowledge God as the giver of our gifts. As the giver of gifts. The property which we have belongs to man, but from the perspective of God, we are trustees, we are stewards, we are managers of what God has given us. And everything that we have, let's put it from the I shared before, we came into this world naked, right? The Bible says naked we will leave this world too. Alright, we're not going to bring anything except our loved ones. Alright, the people around us. So the loved ones that we can actually bring to heaven. But everything that we have, the property that we have, is actually God giving to us so that we can enrich our life, to bless our life, and also to bless others as well. Okay? When we fail to actually acknowledge God, we are actually stealing from God. That means, God, this belongs to you, but I'm using it for myself. Alright? So we need to be very, very careful there. Alright? Okay, any questions today? Yes. The poor
buyer. The issue then is about training. Because training, the nature of training is we buy from a certain cost price, and then we sell to the place where there is a higher demand, and then obviously there's going to be a margin.
Okay, of course.
So yeah. Is that considered?
Okay, okay. You see, I understand. Because you need to make profit, okay, things like that. Okay, now. That's not stealing because you still have to pay your workers. The reason why the prices are usually higher is because you have to pay workers, you pay for the profit. So which means that you are actually honestly doing the market rate. What I'm saying is that, let's say the market rate is $50, but you're going to put it at $100, which is an unreasonable increase and you know it. I'll give you an example. My friend actually has a shop many 30 years ago in Lucky Plaza. One keychain he shared with me. His father got 4 shops. Lucky Plaza, all sell shoes and keychain. He says that whenever the Japanese tourists come, one keychain is actually $9, but they charge them $100. And they will buy because the Japanese tourists only buy things above $100. That's what they say. I don't know whether it's true or not. But they know that it's only $9. And maybe if you put up another $10, not even $20, it will be reasonable, but they really jack it so high. Okay, and if people buy, some people say it's legitimate. Well, I put the price there, it's up to you whether or not you want to. It's those people who have a choice to pay and they pay, then that's their choice. But those people who need, the poor especially, for example, rental. Okay, I think a lot of, I'll give you an example. I think my family met one guy who worked at SSC and he came in to work without a contract. He has to work 7 days a week. And there's no black and white. And he really feels that the boss is taking advantage of him. But he has no choice because he's stuck here. He has to pay his rent. And so what the boss does is he don't give him off days. So because when I try to invite him to church, he said, no off days. I have to work. Because he's only one person manning the whole shop. and he has to work. He works on 10 to 10. And so when you go down that kind of track, we need to be very careful because God actually sees a kind of dishonesty. Okay, Singapore is Singapore is very unique because a lot of people want to come here and work and they are willing to give their lives to work for the money. Unfortunately, there are people who then take advantage of these people. Okay, but when you trade, there are certain things that you need to do. It's all open, and if the other person wants to trade with you, it's open. But when we take advantage of someone else, that's different. Does that make sense?
Okay. In certain industry, there are
Okay. 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 That's a market, eh? The market rate, lah. Pegging it at market rates, huh?
Maybe they are not so educated. Once they are educated, they
may. Okay, I think we can go into a lot of variables, but the principle is that after we talk about how to guard it, one of the principles is honesty. As a person who trade, for example, in King Hospital, I know that sometimes they actually put profit margins because it's necessary for their development and all that. So, but the people who comes, that's their service, they pack it at a particular level and people pay for their service. That's how they calculate. Okay, so if there's an intention to be exorbitant, for example, I think we have this very famous surgeon in Singapore that charges. Even the medical counsel has said, no, that is inordinate, that is not, that is wrong. Okay, so and she was taken to task for that. So I think you know who we're talking about. So if there's no intention to steal, but it's an honest living, you put it black and white, everyone knows what's happening, and a person commits to it, then it's between that person. But if you have intention to take advantage of the situation, then that is actually stealing. Okay, so it's all within the heart because we don't know what's happening in the heart. Okay. And how do we then keep our heart against thefts? Okay, so these are some principles. Hopefully, we will go through them. It's 11 of them, but we'll just go through verses and see what God has. Let's turn to Proverbs 23, verse 4. Okay, Proverbs 23, verse 4. We'll just zip through them in the next half an hour. Proverbs 23, these are some principles we need to use in our lives in order not to guard our heart against stealing, guard our heart against wanting things that God doesn't want. Proverbs 23 and verse 4. Let's read together, okay? Ready? Proverbs 23, verse 4. Ready? 1, 2, go. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom, okay? Solomon tells us, don't aim. Okay, the first point is, don't aim to be rich. Don't aim to be rich. Don't make it your life goal to be rich. I know of people who would put a goal, first million by what, 25 or 30. That's what Solomon says, don't do. Okay? Don't aim to be rich. Why? Look at verse 4. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. What does that... I always tell my children, that's a 老夫子. You know, 老夫子, you know, 老夫子, always have this, he would lose a deal, then they see this dollar note and the wings flying away. You know where they came from? It came from the Bible. That's what the Bible says, you know, if you set your mind on things on the earth, they are temporary. That's why you say it's temporary. Stock market can go up and down. I have one friend who says, because he's a trader, he's a stockbroker, so he says, oh, Johnny, my emotions go up with the trade. You go up, I'm high. Go down, so he goes up and down. And you know, overnight you can lose millions of dollars. Overnight. God says, don't set yourself, don't aim for things that are temporary. Okay? So that has to do with the heart. Singaporeans have a tendency to do that. Materialism. Wanting things. When they look at what other people have, they want more of it. God says, aim not to be rich. Labor, don't work to be rich. Don't put your life, don't put your effort to be rich. Nothing wrong with making money. Nothing wrong with earning the money because it's important. Money is a fact of life. Okay, for Singaporeans, you have to pay the bills and stuff like that. But when we begin to say, I want to do overtime because I want to earn this. I want to do this because I want to earn this. Then you're putting your heart in the wrong place. Our hearts must always be given to God. Okay? Knowing that it is God who gives us all these things. Okay? Firstly, aim not to be rich. Stop me, alright, if you need to ask questions. Any questions? Yes. Profit, lah.
They don't look at anything else.
Yeah.
They just look at the bottom line.
Yeah.
So if you are inside some. inevitable if you are inside such a system. The whole system is geared towards the bottom line.
Correct.
They don't really think about other things.
Okay.
The majority of the corporates are.
Correct, correct.
So, yeah, in this system, what is the advice from the Bible?
Are you the one aiming for the profit, or are you the one doing the job?
Because the nature of your job is all geared towards.
Okay.
Your responsibility, your accountability, is always about the profit.
Sure.
Nothing else really matters.
Okay.
Like you say, when honesty comes in, for the corporations, the lowest cost is the best. You can squeeze the most out of the workers, then you get the money. This is the system.
Sure. When we look at the whole system, there's so many things to consider. Okay. But I think the primary purpose of this particular verse is deep in our hearts. As if, for example, yourself an accountant, right? Yeah. So you work as an accountant. I mean, this system. I'm also in a company that aims towards profit. Okay, I think many of us. Of course, some of us don't have like hospitals and all that. Sadly, some hospitals also have a profit margin they have to meet. Okay. But I think the key thing is, for me as a person before the Lord, when I do my work, what is my motivation? Okay? If the company aims to so-called make money, God actually gives us the instruction that we are actually to submit to my boss. Okay? But the principle of work is that I need to make my boss profitable. I need to actually honor my boss by doing my best in the area that I am. Okay? But within God's principles. In other words, I don't be dishonest. But if my boss asks me to do something dishonest, then I say, sorry boss, I cannot tell a lie like that. I cannot give under table money. I cannot readjust the numbers. I cannot do that. All right. But in your work, you just do your best based on the principles you know. There'll be other factors. Remember, we cannot change everything, but we can certainly control the area that we are involved in. All right. If you are the boss, okay, if we are the boss and then we keep pushing people unreasonably towards setting those targets, then we actually have to check ourselves. Does it make sense? Okay, so does it make sense? Okay, as long as our heart is right with God and we are working within the honesty principles, we're working hard, we're honoring our boss, we're subservient to him, then you're not aiming to be rich, you're just doing a good job. Okay, aiming to rich means the dollar sign is your motivation only. Okay, but I believe as Christians, that's not our motivation. Our motivation is to glorify God. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's move on. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Next principle, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Okay, some of these principles, you can actually memorize them. It's very useful for keeping our hearts in check. Okay, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and verse number 6. Okay? Let's read together. Maybe the men will read verse 5, the ladies will read verse 6. Okay, ready? 1, 2, for the men, 1, 2, go. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6. Okay, Paul, I believe the author of Hebrews is Paul. Let your conversation, let your behavior be without the attitude of always wanting to grab. Covetousness. Oh, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. Let our lifestyle not have that. Sometimes people may not do that, but when they look at that something, their eyes say, yeah, it'd be good if I can have that. It'd be good if I can have that car. Okay? Paul says, don't let your behavior, your conversation be without. The word without is a complete negative. Without covetousness. Covetousness means what? Wanting things. The word covetousness actually have an evil connotation. It's like wanting things they're not, God didn't want you to have. Okay? Wanting things which God didn't want us to have, at least at that particular point of time. For example, some children, we're sharing with, I think, someone said, well, some children at the age of 4 or 5, they want, I want the iPhone, I want the whatever, tablet, whatever. Well, you can, but not now. You know? But that's covetousness. Wanting something that other people have, but it's not for us. And that's something that we have to guard against. Because I can tell you the whole world of advertising is to entice us to buy things we don't need with money we don't have. So satisfy our wants that we don't actually need it, okay? So we need to be very careful. The Bible says, okay, a few points here. Don't be covetous in our lifestyle, okay? It can include career. It can include the things. It can include anything that when your eyes set on it, you want, it'll be good if I can have that. Let's put it this way, it'll be good if you can have everything in this world. But we can't. But God actually says, don't allow things to become your primary occupation. Don't be covetous in your lifestyle. Number two, trust in God's providence. But let your conversation be without covetousness, but be content with such things as ye have. And that is actually a very important qualifier that God gives. Are we satisfied with what we have at the moment? Not only that, are we satisfied with who we are at this moment? Because a lot of people, I think in the Korean and Japanese in the cosmetics industry, a lot of people are going to Korea for, makeover. Okay? Because they believe that if you make your face in a certain way, then you're more employable. Right? I think you can read some of the news. But are we happy with who we are? Are we happy with the situation in which God has put us in? Remember, if we learn to trust God, position, the family, the church, the whatever place that your work, your career, no matter what station in life, that's the place that God put you in. Would you agree with that? And are we contented to be? Because that's what Paul says. Be content with such things as you have. You know, if you read the Bible, you realize that Paul is telling the slaves, be happy with what you have. 1 Paul of Corinthians. Slaves, obey your masters. Masters, take care of your slaves. See, God has responsibilities for everyone. But are we contented with what things we have? Because if we're not contented, we will do things to get what we want. That's covetousness. Does that make sense? Any questions? And that's a very important... let me just give you a definition of... after we talk about contentment, but okay, trust in His providence. Trust in what God has given to us. Trust that for Tujimani Toriano, your family is the best family that God can give to you. Do you believe that? You sure? Say amen. And Sister Felicia, your family is the best family God has given to you. Not perfect. Amen? Not perfect. But that's the family that God gave. And we're supposed to work within there. Because if God thinks that we need something else, He'll give us something else. Amen? You know? We're not perfect. But we're getting there, okay? We need to realize. But you see, God says here, be content with such things as He have. Trust in God's providence. The word providence means, pro means before, vidence is video. Means God sees before what we need, and He gives to us what we need. Because He sees before. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows who you are, what you need, and He put you in the place that you need to be, because our God is perfect in His planning. Do we trust that? We need to trust that. When people don't trust that, that's why they try to make plans for themselves, which is sometimes outside of God's will. Okay? So learn to trust it, and also trust in His word, because the Bible says, "For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In other words, if you find yourself in a situation that you find, God, this is not the best situation, know what God says? I'll never leave you in that situation. No matter how hard it is, I'm going to go through it with you. You know, that's a blessing. If you realize what God is trying. See, God wants to guard our hearts. Don't be covetous. Be happy with what you have. And when you face the trials within there, I'm going to be with you. Airtight. That's why we need to put ourselves in the center of what God says. This is His will. Okay? And then in verse 6, so that we can be confident in our life, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. I'm not going to be afraid what man shall do unto me. Okay? So, don't be covetous in our lifestyle. Trust in His providence. Trust in God's word. Do you believe that God will never leave you nor forsake you? If you do, then you will be contented. Can you imagine if President Tony Tan tell you everything you need, I'm going to provide. Okay? You just give me a call. You need $10, you just give me a call, a TT to your account. Anything you need for your school, for your whatever, as long as you need it, just let me know, I'll give it to you. Do you have to worry? You may test it the first few times. But when you find that it's always coming, you're always coming, then okay, I think I can really trust this situation. I think babies, for example. You know, babies, interesting. They did a study between babies who had comfort and nourishment versus institutionalized babies, whereby they can cry for a long time and there's no needs coming. So, for a baby with a mommy, and you know, every time you touch here, the baby will do this. You know why? It's called a rooting reflex. You know why? Because once it's here, the baby actually orientates towards where the source of nourishment is. Okay, it could be the mother nursing and all that. So every time, sometimes we do this and then the baby turns, it means the baby is very confident that he's going to find the nourishment. Of course, if you don't find it, he'll start screaming and shouting until the nourishment comes, right? Mummies will know that. But you know, for the institutionalized babies, when they cry, they can cry for hours, they don't get anything. And they find that some of these babies actually die early. Simply because of what? Insecurity. You know, Christians, we are secure in Christ. Do you believe that? Secure. Secure in Christ. And that's something that we need to learn. When we realize that, we don't have to be covetous. Okay? Any questions? Yes.
Between determination and drive, covetousness, where is the line?
Where's the line? Okay. What's the then ask us one question. What's your purpose for driving? What's your purpose for determination?
Because we are always taught.
No, it's okay. Just share.
Sure.
We'll prosper.
This is the first message.
What is God's message?
So, on the other hand, we also need our plans, So, I think myself, sometimes
Sure.
Am I spreading our culture?
Okay. Firstly, determination and drive is always, God has put it into every human being. Okay? But because of sin, some people are lazy, don't do anything on. But determination and drive, God has put it in, okay, so that we can do things. That's why when people get discouraged and depressed, they don't do anything. They lose that determination and drive. Okay? So determination and drive is all put in there. Because of sinful nature, sometimes the determination and drive is not for God, it's for ourselves. That's when we need to be checking our motives and intention. But when we say, for example, the Apostle Paul, would you say the Apostle Paul was full of drive? But what was his purpose? What was his purpose? In everything that I eat and drink, I'll glorify God. And I'm driving myself because at the end of the day, when he gets a promotion, he'll say, no, it's not me. Really, it's not me. It's what God has done for me. And everywhere he goes, there's a reflection of God's glory, reflection of God's power. And he's not going to fight anyone because he knows that his determination is for God. Okay? And see, I think my son was telling me something. We bought this book called The Terrestrial Chronicles, which is really, really, very good. It gives a whole overview of the Christian life. But there was one person who was telling King Josiah, which is actually in the, well, correct me if I'm wrong, they've been reading it like crazy. If we drive for excellence, for the sake of excellence, there's always the element of pride. But if we drive for excellence for the glory of God, it's for God's honor. If we drive excellence for the sake of excellence, there's always the element of pride. But if we drive for excellence because, God, I want to honor you. Daniel, the Bible says, was more excellent than all the princes. But you know, Daniel was a humble man before God. And God used him mightily. And he was able to serve 80 years across four kingdoms. And every king trusted him. And God actually used him to foretell the future. As an example of what Joseph was, someone who was a man of excellence. He did his best to the point that he was in prison and the prison guard made him in charge of the whole prison. But you know, his heart was always right. That's what we need to drive towards. Does that make sense? So keep our hearts on Christ. Okay, let's move on to the next one. 1 Timothy 6 verse 6. Be contented with what we have. This is the next point. 1 Timothy 6 verse 6. First Timothy 6 verse 6. Let's read that together. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay. Bible is very clear, not just contentment. Godliness with contentment. Some people are very happy with the way they are, but they're not going to push themselves to be more godly Christians. Godliness with contentment is actually great gain. Great gain. Okay, we need to be contented with what we have. Let me just give you a definition of contentment. Contentment comes when we realize and believe that our resources in Christ Jesus is more than sufficient to meet our every need. Genuine biblical contentment comes when we realize and believe that our resources in Christ Jesus is more than sufficient to meet our every need. That means financial, social, physical, mental, in every situation. Philippians 4 verse 9, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's where the definition came from. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And that's important. Christians, there's always the chasing of the dollar in Singapore. Nothing wrong with working hard. And I thank God that some people are being promoted because they work hard. And I believe those who work hard here are not going to say, I'm going to aim for that dollar. I know your life, and you want to do well, you want to work hard for God, to glorify God. But you know, in the process, you get promoted, thank God. You know? Okay, be contented with what we have. Okay, the next one is Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Realize that our life does not consist of the things we have. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Luke 12, verse 15. Luke 12, verse 15. It's a real story. Jesus was actually talking to one brother who was asking him to talk to his elder brother. Okay, I'll just read from verse 30. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Verse 14, and he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or divider over you? Verse 15, Jesus then told him, take heed. The word take heed means to be careful. Extreme caution. Beware of covetousness. Be very careful. Why? Because for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Jesus' philosophy of a man's value is not how rich you are, not what skills you have. Because that's why he says it doesn't consist of the things that you have. It doesn't consist of what you value. Your value as a person is not placed in your career. It's not placed in your the bank account you have. It's not placed in the condo you have, not placed in the house you have, not placed in the things you have. That's what Jesus said. Alright? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. We need to realize this. Not some people will aim for things. See, when we aim for things, it's always there's this thing about high achievers. Their achievement is what they glory in. They put their value as a person. So when people don't recognize their achievement, you know what they do? They get depressed. They get discouraged. They don't want to press on. You know, when you serve God, even if men don't praise you, you still press on. You know why? You're serving the King of Kings. He knows what's happening. See, when we put our focus on the wrong place, we respond in the wrong way. Isn't that true? Here, Jesus says, look, the value of your life doesn't consist. For me, the value of my life doesn't consist how many churches I planted. Doesn't consist is who I am as a person. Am I growing? Is my life changing? And before God, am I honest? Do I have integrity before God? Men may not see that, but you know, it's important for all of us to realize that the value of our life. That's why it's important for us to value every human being, regardless of who they are. Okay? Weak as we are, God wants us to realize that God values the person. Jesus died for the blind, amen? He died for those who cannot walk. He died for those who perhaps have physical problems. Jesus died for the beggar in the street. Jesus died for the babies that have been abused. How many of you read the newspaper yesterday about this, I think a few hours old baby was abandoned. In where? Where's that place? Kind of Choa Chu Kang or something. You read about this baby? Was abandoned. Huh? Serangoon, sorry. And was found by someone at 2 p.m. Jesus died for that baby when no one else wanted her. Jesus already died for her. Does that make sense? The value is not so much in what we have. Christians, we need to understand that. Okay? It will keep our hearts against wanting to steal. Okay? It's based on that. But any questions? Okay, let's move on, right? The next one is Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Okay, these two verses. Let me just read, alright? Romans 12, 17, you can jot it down. Recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Second verse, 2 Corinthians 8, 21, aiming at the same principle, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Be honest in all that we do. Be honest. Stealing is dishonest. God says providing, Christians ought to be the most honest people on earth because of who Jesus is to us. Let me just read a story of honesty, okay? Abraham Lincoln, this is about Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln apparently is a Christian. He's a Christian. Youthful days, he was a clerk. Okay, he was in charge of a shop. There was one time when he sold something to a woman, and he received the money, and he realized that when he took the money from the woman, he realized that she has given him more than enough. Let's say it's $1, he gave him $2, for example. Okay, what happened was when he held the extra money, it was such a burden for him that he actually locked his shop and walked for several kilometers to find this woman and return her the money. Okay, because he cannot be dishonest. That was his motivation. Okay, and of course today we will probably want to say, okay, let's find a convenient time and all that. I know for Abraham Lincoln, the principle of honesty, you know, in those days, these things are very important. Honesty, punctuality, all these kind of things are very, very important. Today, it's like Singapore is a convenient society along the way. We need to go back to those. You know why? If as a church, we will live by convenience, we will never fulfill the will of God. You know why? Life will never be convenient. If you always choose the easy way out, we are not going to be able to do the right thing. God says, be honest. God says, be honest. Okay? The next one, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Another principle to keep our heart against thefts. Ephesians 4, 28. Let's read together. Ephesians 4, 28. And I'm sure all of us does this. Let's read it. Ready? One, two, go. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Ephesians 4:28. Okay? So the point is, work hard. Work hard. Okay? Work hard. Ephesians 4:28. Sure. Okay, you don't need to lose that. Work hard. Work hard. That's a Bible principle. Every Christian ought to be the hardest workers at your workplace. People need to see that, that the attitude, the ethos of work, the ethics of work, you know, that we will focus and so we'll work our best for God. We need to work hard because, get this, work hard. And bosses like hard workers. Amen? And because of that, you get the promotion. Okay, not because you want that, but you say, God, you told me to work hard. I'm honoring you by working hard. And God says, I will promote you in due time. Alright? So, we need to work hard. When we focus on working hard and glorifying God, our heart won't be on stealing. Because Paul says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Replace stealing with working. You know, sometimes, you know, I think there's this thing called kleptomania. You know, kleptomania, people have the impulsive to steal. You know how we should get them? Just get them to work. Just get them to do work. Just get them to do work. Okay? Alright? So that's something that we need to take note of. The next one, in 1 Corinthians 4:2, we talked about that. Moreover, it's required in stewards that the man be found faithful. Okay? Be faithful being a manager, a steward of the things God has given to us. A manager is using it for God. Okay, that includes our money, our time, our bodies, and everything that we have. We use it for God. Once we have it, say, God, how am I going to give this to you? Alright, be good stewards of what God has given to us. Okay, let's turn to a book of in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Another principle, how to guard ourselves against thefts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Another principle to help us always to guard ourselves against theft. Let's read together. I think we all know this verse. Ready? 1, 2, go. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Applying this verse to the whole area of stealing, it means, if I don't have, I thank God. If I have, I thank God. That's what Paul taught us. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. In everything I have, I'm able to be contented. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, in everything, whether even in poverty. I remember a story of George Mueller. You know George Mueller, a very famous man of faith. And what he would do as he prayed and trust God, and as he took care of the 2,000 orphans without any means, almost every day. And he will always have this practice when there's no food. When it's time for lunch or dinner, all the orphans will sit down at the dining table with empty bowls. And they'll pray, Lord, I thank you for the food you're going to provide. And George Mueller has a testimony that said, almost never have any orphan in the orphanages gone without a meal. Never. And it's always by faith. And he thanked God first. There's different stories. Oh, there was one particular that I remember. After he prayed, immediately after he prayed, someone knocked on the door. And apparently this card of person was he has this whole card, but his card broke down and the food will spoil if he don't give it to someone. So just nice, you know. So George Mueller had all the food for all the orphans. God provides when you least expect it. And that's where we need to learn trust God. You know, when we give thanks, what happens when you give thanks? What's the meaning of giving thanks? What's the meaning of giving thanks? Remember we talked about it? What do you mean when I thank someone? Let's say if I thank Jacob, what is that? You're grateful. Okay, more than that, I'm recognizing that what I have is the result of what he has done for me. That's why I'm thanking him. Does that make sense? So when we thank someone, it's actually telling the other person. That's why we need to thank God all the time. And of course, many times we need to thank each other also for little things. You know, yesterday I was just in the youth. I don't know who did it, but I want to thank the person who actually washed the fan upstairs in the youth. Okay, you know, sometimes fan as it go, right, there's this thick layer of dust, right? I know someone probably cleaned it because it's not there. And I'm thankful because someone bothered to look up. Okay, you clean that part up. When we thank, see, in everything give thanks means, in any situation, Paul says it is God's will that in every single, without without any exception, in every situation, give thanks to God. Why? Because this is the will. God says it's an established will. In anything that happens to you, you give thanks. There's no negotiation. Don't have to pray about it. Just thank God for whatever situation. This, you know why? Because God wants us to learn to take our eyes off ourselves and put it on God. Take our eyes off ourselves and put it on God. Recognizing that even in the situation that seems bad for us, God is still the one that allows it. And we give Him thanks. Why? Because He is wise. He knows what He has given us. He knows when we need, how much we need to go through. And we thank God that there is a good outcome that He's preparing us for. Sometimes it's hard. But it's important. Because God is not interested in our things. He's interested in us. He wants to change us, full stop. And that's why some of the principles say, "Oh God, very hard, man. There is no growth without stress. There's no growth without stress." And when we learn to give thanks, even God, I don't have much. I don't have much. But I can give thanks. And God says, when you give thanks, you put your eyes on me, no good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's a Bible principle. God says, if you put eyes on me, I'm not going to let you down. And by the way, even if you don't put your eyes on me, I'm not going to let you down. Because He's faithful. He's God is faithful. Alright? So, think on these things. Be thankful. Okay. Any questions up to there? Give thanks in all situations. Okay? Let's turn to Exodus 22. Just a few principles that with regards to stealing in particular. Okay, what happens if we actually steal? Alright, what should we do? Exodus 22 verse 1. Okay, these are some of the principles that the nation of Israel has to use with regards to actual theft. Alright? That the judges will apply this. In fact, I think it's being applied in our law courts even today. Alright? Exodus 22 verse 1. The Bible says, "If a man shall steal an ox or sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for 1 for an ox, 4 sheep for a sheep." Okay? So if one person has stolen something for his own benefit, and the person is caught, the individual needs to pay according to the property that's stipulated here. It's 1 ox for 5, depending on the value. Okay? 1 sheep for 4 sheep for 1. So God actually has very clear. You need to pay back. Okay? The next one in verse 2, if a thief be found breaking up, the word breaking up means he's going to die and be smitten that he died. That means when he's going to die, then there shall be no blood shed for him. When a person steals and as he's running away and someone hits him and he dies because he has stolen, because the other person is trying to catch him according to this principle, and the person actually dies, it's not capital punishment. No blood will be shed for him. Because in the Bible, Genesis 9, if a person kills with a murderous intent, the person has to die. Okay, that's God's rules. But if the person is stealing, and someone hits him or tries to stop him, and the person actually dies, say no blood will be shed for him. In other words, that is not capital. It's not a capital offense. He was just trying to stop the person. Okay, so there's actually a repayment in verse 3, and then in verse 3 and 4, let me just apply it, because 2, 3, 4 goes together. If the sun be risen upon him, as he's running, I hit him, he fell down, and then he kind of unconscious. But if the sun be risen upon him, that means he actually wakes up the next morning, then shall be blood shed for him, for he shall make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. The principle here is in stealing, there must be restitution. You must pay back. There is a... In modern day Singapore, there's this tendency, we'll just say, paiseh, it's okay. No. Biblically speaking, there must always be a restitution made. Otherwise, things are not restored. So if I steal something from Brother June, for example, I steal $1 from him, okay? And then he caught me. I'm supposed to pay him $4 or pay him more. Okay, there must be restitution. Alright? There must be a payment back. Okay, so if one someone has stolen, we need to pay back according to the property. In stealing, there must be restitution. And one more principle, verse 5 and 6. If a man, this is important, if a man shall cause a field of vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. Verse 5 and 6 together. If a fire breaks out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindleth the fire shall surely make restitution. Neglect causing others to lose out, the individual must make restitution. If I have an ox or a donkey or whatever, and I let him kind of just, because I neglected it, he went into another person and eat up what the other person has. God says you have to take the best and pay back. You cannot say, hey, the donkey bite the rope, man. He walked off by himself, man. God says, you are neglectful. You have to pay back. That's a principle. Okay? In other words, ignorance is not an excuse before God. Did you know that? Ignorance is not an excuse. You cannot say, I don't know, before God. How many of you would dare to say before God on the judgment seat, God, I didn't know. You know what God's going to say? They're going to find out. By the way, you have the Bible in your house. Have you read it? Ignorance is not an excuse. In this principle, God says, when we are neglectful, causing others to lose out, we are responsible. Wow. You know, all of us are guilty in some way. Sometimes we neglect small things and we think it's not as good as it is. You know what I need to do? We actually need to make restitution. And one of the principles I learned in my life is to be very quick to say sorry. Because once a person is offended at certain things, even though you, because perhaps it's neglect, okay, it's something that you should have thought of but you didn't, there's a place to always make that thing right. And I've learned that because God says, regardless of what is the outcome, God will always point back to how it all started and the people that needs to actually take responsibility for that. And of course, all the people in between as well, and things in between. But generally here, is we need to take responsibility. If someone actually is hurt by what we have done, perceived or not, we need to be able to say, we need to make restitution. In the area of stealing especially, this is very important because I think just applying it as a general principle, we need to take responsibility for our actions. We need to. Okay? So, any questions? Questions? And I just want to add this point. In the Mosaic Law, there's 613 laws. Okay, just for your Bible knowledge. How did Jesus summarize these laws? Anyone? Remember in the New Testament, someone asked the Master, Lord, what is the great commandment in the law? How did Jesus answer? Anyone? Sorry? Okay, let's turn to Matthew 22. It is very interesting because the longer I believe we are as Christians, the more we realize actually the entire law. Jesus summarized 613 laws into two. You know why? To make it easy for all of us. Okay? Matthew 22. Okay, after this we'll finish. In Matthew 22 and verse 35. I'll just read. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him. Notice the motivation wasn't right. But he asked a question, but Jesus answered it. First, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thine mind. This is the first and great commandment. So the first commandment, the great commandment is love God with everything you have. Your heart, your soul, your mind. All your emotions, all your intellectual thinking, all your opinions, and with everything inside of you. That's the first and great commandment. But notice the second one. It's interesting. Jesus says the second is like unto it. In other words, these two hinge as one. It's a hanger. Same hanger that hangs all the law and the prophets, okay? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is it possible, therefore, to love God, not love your neighbor? No. Do you know what are the laws for in Moses' law? It's to actually maintain proper human relationships, to show the love that we have towards for one another.